Thank you, Ron. That was gorgeous. Grace and peace to you from God our Creator and Jesus Christ our risen Lord. Amen. Hosea is our prophet this week, and this Old Testament book sends a very strong and beautiful message about God's love for and relationship with his chosen people, a love that leads God to judge the people when they love other gods and oppress each other. But also it's about a relationship to which God is faithful to his people on the other side of judgment. Keep this in mind, this message of love, as we go along this morning, that God will never, ever abandon his people forever. Hosea's story paints a vivid picture of God's anger, an anger fueled by his intense love for his people. The length to which God will go to show his disapproval of Israel and his desire for restoration and reunion after the punishment has been meted out. It's a love story, really. A story of God's unfailing love for us. To begin, let's see where we are in history when we talk about this prophet Hosea. In the first verse of the first chapter, we see identified the kings that ruled during Hosea's prophetic ministry: Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah reigned over the southern kingdom of Judah from 790 to 686 BC, while Jeroboam II ruled the northern kingdom of Israel from 782 to 753 BC. This indicates that Hosea lived in the middle to late 8th century, making him a contemporary of prophets that we know well: Isaiah, Amos, who you heard about last week, and Micah. So all four of these prophets were active during this time period. God's people were divided into two nations or kingdoms, northern and southern. And like Amos, whom you heard about last Sunday, Hosea was a prophet who was active in the northern kingdom of Israel. And like the book of Amos, the book of Hosea somehow made its way south to Jerusalem, where it was copied and edited and preserved to serve as God's word for future generations. But unlike Amos, Hosea himself was a citizen of the northern kingdom. Was this book written by Hosea himself? Most of the messages in the book of Hosea were spoken by Hosea. We don't know if he wrote them down himself. Usually the words were collected by followers, and they were convinced that Hosea spoke for God, and so they recorded them. We do know that Hosea most likely delivered his messages between the years 750 and 722 BCE, or BC. And sometime after that, the messages of Hosea were collected and edited and copied. It's not clear when this process was completed, but we know that it was before the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. So to whom did Hosea direct all these prophetic warnings? To Jeroboam II, a descendant of the house of Jehu. The warnings were also addressed to the incompetent and corrupt priests who led the people into moral depravity. So Jeroboam II, he had a very prosperous reign. Israel enjoyed one of its most happy periods politically and economically because Jeroboam was a very able ruler. For example, during his 40 years of reign as king over Israel, he recovered every piece of land that had ever been lost by his predecessors. But unfortunately, along with all this strong growth of the economy, there were massive gains in poverty, social injustice, religious prostitution, sexual immorality, and the sales of idols and worship of same. There was an unprecedented collapse of moral standards. It was an age of corruption in which wealth and power ruled the day. During this age, there appeared, appropriately, in Israel, great prophets who denounced the wickedness of the people and appealed for a return to the laws of justice and the morality of the Torah. However, the people went their own way. Idolatry spread throughout all the country. The people built altars to worship Baal, and they even sacrificed their children to the abominable cult of Moloch. They viewed with contempt the teachings of the Torah and the Holy Commandments. You'll recall from our prophet series that the prophets had a particular task to fulfill as prophets. They called their listeners to return to a faithful relationship with their God, especially as defined by the covenants or laws of Moses. Often, as in Hosea's case, the prophetic message included a specific call for rulers to repent from unjust social practices that allowed for oppression and the economic oppression, the economic exploitation of the poor people. Let's look at our first chapter, which we heard John read so eloquently this morning. Perhaps the most puzzling and controversial issue regarding this book of Hosea has to do with Gomer, who is called a wife of whoredom. In tradition, this was normally interpreted to conclude that Gomer was a cultic prostitute, a woman who engaged in sexual relationships with men as part of a fertility cult, with the idea that sexual activity between two humans on earth as a part of divine worship would stimulate the gods to bless the earth with agricultural fertility. However, it's not even certain if sexual acts were part of the Canaanite religion, or if there were cultic prostitutes in ancient Israel or the neighbors, for sure. A second interpretation that has been popular is to view Gomer as a common prostitute, a woman who earns her living by means of sexual activity, but whose activities had nothing to do with religion. And other biblical scholarship supports that Gomer wasn't a prostitute at all, but just a promiscuous woman who was unfaithful to her husband. In this first chapter, God instructs Hosea to marry Gomer for specific reasons. God said, "Go, take for yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom, for the land has committed great whoredom by forsaking the Lord your God." By asking Hosea to marry such a woman, the text suggests that this woman is inherently base and unlovable. This verse sets up the elements of the metaphor. So Hosea represents God, and Gomer represents Israel. The metaphor requires its ancient audience and us to sympathize with God as a long-suffering and offended male and condemn Israel as an undesirable and rebellious woman. And as if this were not enough of an unpleasant picture, God then commands Hosea to give horrible names to the three children produced by his marriage to Gomer: Jezreel, Lo-Ruhamah, and Lo-Ami. Jezreel's name in Hebrew means God sows and recalls the name Israel. The valley of Jezreel also would evoke for Hosea's audience the violent overthrow of the Israelite king Joram by Jehu and the gruesome prophecy that the dogs would eat the body of Jezebel. Yes, Jezebel, Joram's mother in the valley of Jezreel. So the mere name of Jezreel would bring to the Israelites' mind this horrible and unsavory memory. By the way, the dogs did eat the body of Jezebel. The second child that is born to Gomer is a daughter named Lo-Ruhamah. Lo-Ruhamah, which means no compassion. There's a little wordplay at work here in the root word rechem, whose noun form means womb, as in a mother's womb. So this symbolic name, therefore, could signify God's withholding of motherly compassion from Israel, as well as pointing at Israel's own infertility. Finally, Hosea names the third child Lo-Ami, meaning not my people. Within the metaphor, God disowns the chosen people for their sins. And then in verse 9, God goes so far as to tell them, you are not my people, and I am not your God. God uses the names of Hosea's children along with Gomer's unfaithfulness to send specific and pointed messages to the people of Israel. And then in verse 10, when all seems lost, that verse constitutes a radical reversal that offers hope. While Israel will pass through the judgment of God's rejection, God will ultimately redeem Israel, once more calling them children of the living God. In spite of the coming punishment, Hosea knew that on the other side of judgment, God would graciously continue a relationship with the chosen people. Using tender and emotional language, Hosea proclaimed that God longed for a relationship with the people and would not finally let them go. But the story doesn't end here at this first chapter with a happily ever after. God continues to portray Israel as willful and wayward people deserving of divine punishment, while at the same time, God beseeches the beloved to remain faithful to him. And the next 13 chapters of this book tell a poetic and moving story of God's justified anger, unfailing love and patience with his people Israel, and the lengths to which he will go to remain in loving relationship with them. Take time later today or this week to open the book of Hosea and read the rest of the chapters. It will be well worth your time. True, most of Hosea's messages are announcements of God's anger with the northern kingdom Israelites and God's impending judgment on them. Hosea delivers God's words of condemnation and a promise of punishment of Israel for their unfaithfulness. But God also speaks a message of astounding love and mercy and forgiveness. God speaks tenderly of Israel as a child who is deeply loved. And the book of Hosea closes with a hopeful message. It promises that God will make Israel blossom and take root and grow, be fragrant and flourish. Take time to hear for yourself the message of forgiveness and love in this beautifully written book. The writing is simply gorgeous, and you should experience the way it touches the heart. It's as though you're looking into the heart of God and seeing this passionate, unrelenting love he has for his people, which includes us. Why is Hosea so important for us to read and understand? A couple of reasons. First, more than any other prophet, Hosea linked his message closely with his personal life. By marrying a woman he knew would eventually betray his trust, and by giving his children names that sent messages of judgment on Israel, Hosea's prophetic word flowed out of the life of his family on display for all to see. The cycle of repentance and redemption and restoration evident in Hosea's prophecy, and even his marriage, remains intimately connected to our lives. This cycle plays itself out in the lives of real people in our own time, reminding us that the scriptures are not a mere collection of abstract statements with no relation to real life. We too stumble and fall and are lifted up again by God. Our struggles mirror those of people in Scripture, and Hosea's story reminds us of that fact. And the second reason Hosea is important to read, this prophet recalls us to the promise of God's unfailing love. Even when faced with the Israelites' blatant corruption and waywardness, God continued to be faithful and hopeful of reconciliation and renewal with them. It is the same with us. We are loved by God in this same extravagant manner. Be glad of that. Let your heart be glad. And give thanks to God for that. Amen. Will you please stand and pray with me? Okay. Oh, generous and loving God, how do we respond prayerfully to you after learning about Hosea this morning? Perhaps we acknowledge that each of us is prone to wander away from your embrace at times, and we feel ashamed when we do. But you are an extravagant God who offers us reconciliation at every turn. Help us to hear your whisper of guidance in our lives so that we do not stray from your commandments. Help us to stay linked to you in your powerful love and mirror it out upon a hurting world. Help us to always be your faithful and obedient people. We pray this in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.